This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Shadowbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia, and good evening, my love.
Good evening, my love.
My love, how are you this evening?
I'm good. I'm super excited about our guest tonight.
Can I say, I am also super excited about our guest tonight, the one and only Peter Casley, formerly of Perth, now of I was going to say late of London, but that's another guest. It's formerly of Perth, now of Melbourne.
That's right.
Yes. And very excited as well, because we're coming out of Studio One tonight, and usually things go to shit in Studio One.
For the listeners at home, it won't mean anything, but it's basically like the studio we normally come out of, everything's flipped. So it's like asking you, who are normally right-handed, to do everything with your left hand.
Yeah.
So God knows what we're going to get tonight.
Goodness. Now, my love.
Yes.
You normally choose a cracking song.
Yes, I
do.
Now, I picked
off
this tonight because I was at the supermarket the other day. I think I was shoplifting. I can't remember. But this song came on in my headphones.
Yes.
And do you know, it reminded me a bit of our show.
Really?
It's a little bit slow to start. It gets quite good in the middle. And then by the end of it, you just want it all to end.
Like most disco songs of this ilk.
It's Franz Jolie with a stonking old 70s. Well, not stonking. Oh. It's an ordinary disco song from 1977 called
Come to Me. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's not late night love songs. It's Chatterbox.
Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew on Joy 94.9, and that was the dreadful Franz Jolie with
she's fabulous, my love.
Do you know what we were saying while that track was on? That she was Canada's answer to Donna Summer, except she was white and French, so she was like Donna Summer had a baby with Celine Dion and lost every stick of talent both of them ever had. She was like a talentless hybrid.
And it always reminds me of something that you'd hear on the Love Boat.
It does.
It's so Love Boat. It's so Love Boat. My love.
Yes.
Without further ado.
Who's our guest for the night, Brett?
Look, it's the one and only. I've known him. I just realised I've actually known him for more than half my life.
It would be, actually.
I've known him for that long.
You worked at a Christmas time. How many years have you known our lovely guest tonight?
22 years. I met him when I was 18.
That's significant.
I know. I know.
So, without further ado.
Here's the one and only. Peter Casley.
Welcome to Chatterbox 8.
Hey, welcome to Joy.
Thank you so much. It's very, very nice to be here.
Oh, look, you've got a lovely radio voice, my love.
Oh, have I really? I was concerned that I was on because I couldn't hear myself, but I'm really on the radio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you are live.
I can. And there's a little red light here. It says guest 2, cough. So yes. I don't know whether...
Now, it doesn't mean you're supposed to cough. It just means if you do cough, push the red button. No one ever does.
You're going to get some champagne comedy tonight here on Joy. My God. Now, Peter.
Well, I gave you a lovely basso profundo cough there, so I hope you enjoyed it anyway.
Do you know what? Being the good Catholic girl that she knows Italian very well.
We'll get to that later.
Yes. Pete.
Yes.
22 years ago, we met at a mutual friend's, yes. John.
That's right.
In Maylands.
Yeah.
Who knew? You know, I actually initially, many years ago, I actually thought Peter was a bit of all right when I first met you.
Well, quite
steer my foot and call me Brenda.
I know.
Silver fox now, quite frankly.
Look at you.
Great big willowy man you are.
22 years. Well, it's actually less than half my life, but
there you go. It's more than half my life.
At my recent 50th birthday in Perth, I did make the comment that, it's a joy actually getting to an age like 50 and being able to say to people in the room that you have known this person over here for 30 years, you've known that person for 32 years, that one over there for 50, and you can't say that when you're a 30-year-old. So it's an honour, and it is a particular joy.
It depends on the person you're saying it about sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've known this bastard here for,
known her for 100 years.
And the rest.
She still hasn't changed.
Hope she's dead before I'm 60.
That's it.
Look, it gets like that a bit, Tom. But for such a long time, you were one of the few people who still, out of my beer group of friends, who remained. And then it was one day that all of a sudden you popped on Facebook and said, myself and Jonathan, your lovely partner, moving to Melbourne town.
Yeah, I know.
And it all just happened.
Yeah, yeah.
When was that? How long ago was it?
Well, that was December 2013.
But we knew
we were coming here in June 2013, because that's when Jonathan came over for his interview at Monash.
Yeah.
And he came back to Perth. I picked him up at the airport and he had an SMS message and he said, oh, I'll just see who this is. And I think it was the head of school at Monash saying, call me now. Because what he knew is that he didn't get the job that he came over for.
Yeah.
But he was wanted all the same.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it a hard move? Because obviously you had quite an established life in WA.
Yeah.
Was it a difficult move or was it something that you sort of both ran at with arms wide open? Because obviously I didn't meet you until you came to Melbourne. And
to our pleasure.
That was then.
Yeah.
You know her now.
A lot can change in 15 months.
That's true.
You know her now.
I do, Britt. Well, it was a little bit of both. It was difficult. Well, first of all, I suppose, having grown up, I was born in that city. I was born there. My friends are there and my family is there and all the rest of it. And to consider making a change of that scale was pretty monumental.
Yeah.
I suppose what made it easy is that it was at least just to the other side of the country.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It could have been something like, darling, I've got a job in Reykjavik. Oh, shit. Well, what do we do?
Wait for Eurovision to come around.
Well, we'd have had some great Eurovision parties. Phil would have been over and everyone would have been over. And so that was, in that sense, it was easy.
Yeah.
And I think in all those things that we had to do in that 6-month period, like get the quotes for the transport and get a quote for bringing the car across and all the rest of it, it all seemed easy to do at the time.
Yes.
When I look back, I was completely mental.
Yeah.
Mental. It was bonkers.
That's how a move goes, isn't it?
It really is.
It's just crazy. Hey,
I look back and I think, I hope I wasn't too snappy to some people.
Well, you probably were. They can probably suck it up.
Yeah, they can.
Absolutely.
Too.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Grab some balls, Meryl.
just Pete having a turn.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Brett and Andy and our very special guest, Pete Cassidy, only on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest, the gorgeous Pete Cassidy, on Joy 94.9.
Now, my love.
Yes.
Whilst we were all having a bit of chat and playing Franz Jolie.
Yes.
We've had a few messages. First message is from John P. Wintle.
Well, it is. It's lovely past guest and also past Knight in Shining Armour, who swept in one week.
Yes.
And panelled when you were sick.
Yes.
And it's a very small message. It says, quietly listening in the eaves, which sounds mildly sinister. It sounds like you've got night vision goggles and a black leotard on. You're about to kill one or both of us.
I was going to say, you can normally listen to John on Monday nights, but I'm a little bit scared.
John P. Wintle, John Wayne Gacy.
Yes, he's somewhere. He's climbing the window like bloody Spider-Man. Hey, and we've also had Evening Gents, John from Rutherglen. Andrew, great song to start the show. So very, very, very corny.
How very, very, very dare
How very
you.
Dare you. Now, our lovely guest tonight is Peter, formerly of Perth, now of Melbourne. Yeah. Now, Pete, growing up.
I never did.
Well done, you. Neither did I. But what was early years like? Tell us a little bit about Little Peter.
Oh, Little Peter, gosh. Little Peter was born in 1964, and Little Peter has a twin sister.
Oh, really? Yes. You're a twin?
Yes. Don't ask me if she's identical, because about 11,000 people have asked me if she's identical in the history of my life, and I have to put on condescending smile number 4 and say, no, we're not actually. You know? We're really not identical. I don't know why that is. But so I have a twin sister, and I was born about 5 minutes after Liz, and there are 5 kids.
Yes.
And the oldest, Paul, is 8 years older than me.
Yes.
Then came Fran, then Margaret, and then me and Liz popped out at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And hang on a sec, there's another one. That sort of thing. We had Mum and Dad, very sort of quiet and private Catholic people.
Yes.
And that's how we were brought up, pretty much, I think. And I remember it was just me and Liz. We pretty much had each other, so we didn't do kindergarten, and I do wonder if that's because kindergarten was for those, you know, evil other denominations, you know. That's a possibility, I suppose, but I don't know for sure. We just had our very first schooling was not kindergarten or preschool or anything, or whatever it's called these days. It was just the two of us, you know, hiding in and out of underneath the clothesline, and then lo and behold, one day going to school.
Yeah. Isn't it weird? Because I don't remember anything like preschool or kindergarten existing, and we're not too far apart in age.
No.
So I don't remember any of that even existing. It was just like you stayed at home and then you went to school.
Yes.
There was no, like, going to school at one or thought kindergarten or pre or prep or pre-primary.
Yeah.
No, it didn't happen. You just stayed home. Caused your mother to have a nervous breakdown, and then went to school.
I watched the Meckering earthquake happen through the front window.
Yes, well,
Oh, really?
I did.
68.
It was 1968, so I was 4 years old, and there were a few of us in the kitchen at the time, and everything started moving. This was one of my very earliest childhood memories. Isn't this funny? So everything started moving.
Yeah.
I remember looking out the windows of our kitchen, and they would have been windows like, you know, twice the size of that one just there. And in the distance, we could
That's
see
a the big window for the listeners at home.
Yes. Yes. We had prepped Peter before about telling visual gag jokes on the radio.
It's a big window, she was, that's for sure, you know.
So Pete,
and we could see the hills dancing up and down. Spread.
You were telling us before the show that growing up there was some strict music rules in your house.
I don't think they were strict music rules, but it was a certain type of music. Dad pretty much avoided, I think Mum and Dad together pretty much avoided the Buddy Holly, Beatles, Janis Joplin, Gene. And I can remember even probably just 10 years ago watching an ABC special. It was a 4-part ABC special. And, you know, it was the 50s. Then it was the 60s. It was all to do with pop music, of course. And I was watching it with Dad. And it was at their house one night. And we were watching Janis Joplin, Bob Dylan, Dusty Springfield, the Beatles, all of these people. They were just sort of being mentioned in and out. And Dad looks at them and he gesticulates with a sort of puzzled look on his face, and he says, Peter, none of these people ever came to anything, did they? And, oh, Dad. Now, Brett, we had a cupboard full of Oklahoma records.
Oh, your show tunes.
Yes, Oklahoma.
It was very popular on the hit parade back then.
Yeah, I know.
Which leads us to your first track.
Yes.
How did ABBA come into your home, given that it was...
Because this is the first ABBA track we've ever played on Chatterbox.
That's amazing,
so,
isn't it?
Tell us how ABBA came to be, given that you didn't grow up around a lot of sort of modern music, how did ABBA come to be your first choice from young Peter?
I think it's because my older siblings were starting to earn money and they were starting to, you know, go to record shops themselves and saying, oh, there's a world beyond Oklahoma. West Side Story. What's this? My older sister, Fran, she started bringing home a few interesting records. And some of it was actually really interesting. I've still got her Cleo Lane close-up in the cabinet today, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of crackle on it, but I still love it. And so she started bringing home a few things. And, you know, we were listening to stuff like, for God's sake, Kamal. Dad brought home Kamal, a big Kamal album.
Yeah.
And, you know, we popped that on the Chrysler. And, I must explain, too, to the young ones listening out there that a Chrysler was a record player.
You not put a car a building.
Wasn't a skanky limo. Record player. So
yeah, can I just go back to that point for a moment? I don't understand when Hummers became better than a Bentley or a Rolls. What the hell? How did that happen?
It was around the time of rappers and the Kardashians, and we need to talk more about that.
No more about that. We're going
it all. Cars.
We're going back to you, Payne.
Oh well, yes. We better get this story out, hadn't I? So
it's only an hour show, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. So this Kamal record came home.
Yes,
and I thought, and Dad had a twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Look what I've got." You know, I said, "Oh, it's a Kamal record, Dad." You know, he was like Cilla Black. He was everywhere on all the stations at the time on telly. So he had this Kamal record. And popped it on, and I was sitting watching not watching scores because it was the radiogram.
Yes,
watch it. But I was listening to Kamal's 100 Children, and I was going, "Oh wow!" My little head was bobbing sideways like this, and I was thinking to myself at the time that none of the other kids at school would have this. This is really advanced shit. This is great. So. Now, fortunately, I have not listened to Kamal for perhaps 35 years.
Good.
Because what happened is that my older sister, Fran, brought home an ABBA record.
Yes.
And at this time, ABBA was just hitting the airwaves. And I think ABBA has changed my life completely. Who would I be, I wonder, if there had not been ABBA?
So your first track tonight is not one of the most well-known ABBA tracks, which I quite love. Because, as you said earlier, you could have quite easily just played Dancing Queen.
Yeah. Everyone could have.
And can I say, after Andy and I have had this discussion before with some friends who've all grew up on ABBA, for us, Mamma Mia, the film, almost destroyed our love of ABBA. And the fact that you've chosen an obscure ABBA song.
He lost his 007 gig straight after that. He deserved to.
So what is your ABBA track tonight, Pete? What is your first track?
The first track is a very little known song called Put On Your White Sombrero. Do you want me to talk a little bit about it, or do you want to just play it?
We have a little play.
Put on your white sombrero.
Good on you, all right. Give it a twirl, Merle.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest Pete on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andrew and our gorgeous guest Peter Casserly on Joy 94.9.
Now, whilst we were talking, we got a message, Pete, sent on our social media page. And my love, where would you find our social media page?
Just go to Facebook, go to the little search bar in the top and type in Chatterbox on Joy 94.9 and we'll pop up.
Yeah, we will.
Yes, you'll see. You and I, I've got an orange shirt on and sunglasses. We both look eerily similar.
Yes, I know. We do look a bit the same. Hey, Ginny has sent through a message saying, Peter Casserly's a hoot. No doubt about it.
Ginny? Ginny
or Ginny?
Ginny.
Ginny.
Ginny. Ginny's lovely.
Ginny sounds
lovely. That'll be Ginny Coyle from my my business networking group.
Oh, lovely. Hi, nice. Ginny.
Hello, Ginny.
Nice. Now, Peter, just before we were talking about ABBA.
Yeah.
But now this is the part of the show where Andy and I normally ask our guests to tell their coming out story.
Oh, okay. Yes. It took several stages, I suppose, but I was 19 and I went with friends to visit or to see a great Mad Max film. It was the third one, Beyond Thunderdome,
yep.
With Tina Turner.
Yeah.
And Frank Thring. I think it had Frank Thring. You look like Frank Thring, Brett.
That is such a lovely compliment. I really appreciate that.
That's not the first time that's been said.
Oh, isn't it? Okay, well, so,
what do you mean?
Anyway, we were there and I just loved the theme tune so much. It was Tina Turner's.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't need another hero. So I went out and bought the little 45 RPM single. RPM kids, that means revolutions per minute, the number of times it goes around the record player, around the Chrysler, you know. And so I was playing that on repeat at home, and we all did that when we bought singles, didn't we? You know, couldn't afford the full album, so you bought the single.
Put the arm up.
Yeah. repeated. So I was just listening to this through the headphones one afternoon, and I was 19 years old, and I was listening to it, and this sort of realization came from nowhere that I might be gay. And, or not might be, I probably almost certainly am. And it's kind of something that I didn't countenance before and didn't perhaps want.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have dreamt of for myself. And what happened, and I suppose particularly with, you know, upbringing and environmental factors and all the rest of it, what happens is that I actually felt a pang of terror shoot through my body.
Really?
It started up here and actually exited my toes. And, well, once it was out of me, it was out of me. And I think, well, that's great. I can just bury it under the carpet now for the next 5 years. So I did. So wasn't isn't that, particularly isn't
that,
helpful.
Like,
but was that really it? It's like you had the realization when you were 19 that, okay, gay is what this is that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But then you literally...
Much later than some people, I suppose much earlier than others too.
Oh, look, absolutely.
True, absolutely.
But then how long, I suppose that feeling of absolute fear that you just talked about, what did you do with that feeling? Did you...
I was terrified by it, so I just kept it sort of buried for the next few years and... and at age 22 or thereabouts, I was almost 22. No, I was 24. I was 24 years old when the company I worked for, a good Western Australian wholesaling firm called Atkins Carlisle, they said, Pete, do you want to be our representative in the Northwest? So that was an opportunity to go to Karratha.
Yeah.
I think it takes some going away for a lot of people to come out, doesn't it?
And can I just put that into context for people who don't know Western Australia, and obviously the three of us know very well. Karratha, the distance between Karratha and Perth would be something like not even Melbourne and Brisbane. It would be like Melbourne and Rockhampton.
It's 1,574 kilometres.
So that's
you are in the,
quite the drive.
You're in the Pilbara. It is red dirt.
Yeah.
Like there is nothing around you.
Yeah. Beautiful place, I must say.
Oh, it is a beautiful place, but it's very isolated.
A very isolated place to come out to. And I spent 22 months there and made really just one good friend out of it. And that's Grazia in Perth.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether she'll be listening tonight, but she's not a very techie sort of a girl.
And did she know you were gay?
Oh, she might have.
But you didn't...
No.
You hadn't officially come out at that point.
No.
So at what age did you feel comfortable enough to actually be able to put the word gay to the feelings that at 19 put the fear of God into you?
Well, it was when I was in Karratha that I actually moved on. So that was 5 years later. And I put all of my stuff in my new flat up there and I just thought, this is it. I'm here. This is me.
Yeah,
I was comfortable with it, you know. And that's what I was saying earlier. Sometimes a lot of us just go away to discover that part of us, don't we?
But it's interesting, like some people will work it out and then come out straight away, and some people will have that realisation, but it will take time, and it's such an individual thing. You can't just say, it's not like flicking on a switch.
Absolutely, and this is one of the things that it sticks out in my mind from when I first met you, and you and I were having a conversation over a couple of glasses of wine, and we were
just
talking about when you came out, and I think you'd said that you were in your 20s, and my initial reaction was, my God, that's late. Mm. And do you know what? That stuck with me afterwards, because I thought, how hideously rude to turn around and say to somebody that's late, because that's just my interpretation of what's late, because everybody does it in their own time and everybody does it in their own way.
It's a unique story for everyone, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. So I apologise on air for saying that's late, because it wasn't late. It's just you did it in your own time. And
don't you worry about the thing. I completely forgot you said it.
But Pete, I have to ask a question. Would you say you did it because it was the early 80s when you had the first realisation?
Yeah.
Was it family? Was it upbringing? Was it society at that time? Or really, was it you?
What was it, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, really.
But it just wasn't... and this is the thing. I think this is the part of the show that I do like the most, because there isn't one coming out story that's the same as another. And it's not until you reach that point in yourself where you go, right, now it sits well within me, that I feel comfortable to actually do something with it. I mean, you've said you sort of sat on it for 5 years.
Well, and that didn't even happen in Karratha. Well, you know, the impetus to do something with it didn't even happen in Karratha. I was in Karratha for 22 months and I said to my boss, Derek, back in Perth, Derek, I've had enough. I want to come home.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Want to come home. Now.
Yeah.
So he brought me home.
Fantastic.
It was just enough time between the notification that I wanted to come home, and it gave me just enough time to get around to Wittenoom and inhale gobfuls of asbestos dust and tailings and then come home.
I'd like to say, whilst Peter was telling us his very lovely story, and thanks so much for sharing tonight.
That's all right.
My mother sent through a message and she said, hi boys, Brett, you're very handsome. Frank Thring is just okay. Okay, love to you all, Maggie. Thank you, Mum. At least someone's... Maggie.
Frank Thring is a chunky hunky, don't you worry.
No, he wasn't. He was awful. Hey, but if you've got a message to send us, 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Now, Peter, you mentioned a song before.
Tita Tata.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, my love. Yes,
we don't need another hero.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the song that I was listening to, everyone.
And here it is now. It is a fabulous 80s track.
Yeah.
Oh, you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Program has a podcast and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Shatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest Pete on Joy 94.9.
Now, Pete, we've had another message saying from a Braith who has stated...
Braith's listening in. Good old Braith.
You're famous now.
Yes.
I'm sure he doesn't speak like that, though. Now, Pete, next song of the night...
Mm.
That was Tina Tuna, by the way. Yeah. We don't need another... hero.
Did she mean Tita Tana?
She does need another hairdresser.
She looks awful in that film.
Sure. That, can I say, you know I do a good one.
Wig.
You know, I got a good Tina with just trim, blah, the bash. Anyway, anyway. But enough of Tina. Next.
Yes.
Classic song.
It is. Do you know what? It's not just classic. One of the American billboards rated it as the 81st or 82nd most classic song of all time.
So what is it and why did you choose it? Because you only had four. So
it's You're So Vain by Carly Simon.
Yes.
And the reason this is a fairly, I suppose, significant song in my life is because, again, it's in that early childhood era. Yes. But my brother, Paul, he went out and he was an apprentice electrician.
Yes.
And he brought home this anarchic device called transistor radio, and he was playing rock music
the devil's box
bedroom.
He's playing that music in his bedroom again.
This sort of thing. But I can remember, you know, there were two songs that were doing loop pretty much on the radio stations back at that time, and this would have been about 1971-72 or thereabouts, I think, and one of them, well, particularly one of them, was this song, You're So Vain by Carly Simon.
Yes.
And I just loved it at the time because there's this woman singing this incredibly gutsy song. But as I gained an appreciation of music later in my life and started reading the lyrics to this song, I thought, oh, girl, you go. Just listen to the lyrics in this thing. The song has an enduring mystique as well because it was never known. And she has never revealed. She's such a stylish woman. She has never revealed whether it was written about Warren Beatty, James Taylor or Mick Jagger, who knowingly or unknowingly did some of the backing vocals in the song.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Wow. You can hear him. You can hear Mick Jagger's voice there. Yeah, yes, for sure.
Uh-huh. Well,
so that's why I love it.
Without further ado, I love the start as well. Oh. This is Carly Simon with You're So Vain. You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and a very special guest, Peter, only on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest Pete on Joy 94.9. And that was Pete's third track of the night, which was Carly Simon with You're So Vain. And do you know what? That's the first time I've actually listened to the lyrics of that song all the way through. And I've had a revelation.
Yes, what, my love?
I think that song's about me.
Do you have time for a trivia point?
Yes, always.
Angie Bowie, wife of David Bowie,
yes,
reckons that she was the wife of a close friend.
Ooh, oh, really?
Yes.
Ooh. She's so vain.
Oh, isn't she ever? She was off her face at the time anyway. I mean, what would she know?
Weren't they all?
Oh, it was the 70s.
It was the 70s.
Do you know, this is the funny thing. Probably Carly doesn't even know who she wrote the song about. That's like, well,
David Bowie reckons he can't remember the 70s, so why should his wife?
Well, this is exactly true. Now, my love.
Yes.
It's time, your favourite time of the show. It's Out of the Box, where we ask our guests some embarrassing questions.
Yes, we do.
Yes, my love.
Now, we're gonna keep it quite tight tonight.
Yes.
Normally, we ask three or four embarrassing questions, but tonight, we're just going to keep it to one.
Yes.
And there's a reason for this. Now, Pete, what's the most... What are some of the most embarrassing things you have in your music collection?
I think it would have to be my Margarita Prakatan CD. Play it for you one night.
Peter, we've got one.
Oh.
For listeners at
home
that don't know who Margarita Prakatan was, she was this dreadful, I think, Argentinian, was she?
Argentinian, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she used to...
Cabaret singer that used to have a little organ and used to, like, sing things like Lionel Richie.
Yes, look, it's completely inappropriate that you have one of her records as well, so I'm just going to go one more here. I've got Emma Sumac, and she has... she's a very, very talented... I think she was Colombian or thereabouts. And she has a song called Wanka.
Right.
But it's spelled W-A-N-K-A, so I didn't, cross over any broadcasting boundaries there. I just want to let you know that.
It's funny you should say that, because in Spanish, remember there was a car not so long ago called a Pajero.
Oh, yes.
But a Pajero, yes, means bird, or type of bird in Spanish. Yes. Pajero in Spanish means wanker.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's quite funny because a lot of people used to drive Pajeros were wankers.
We also went to your house one night and you've got quite a nice vinyl collection.
Yes.
Because you've got a turntable, which is great.
Yep.
And you pulled out a record and I was looking at the cover and I thought, I know her. Where do I know her from? And it turned out to be...
That was Felicia Adams.
The mother from The Cosby Show, basically.
From The Cosby Show, yes. And she put out...
Now known as Felicia Richard. Yes.
Yes. Yes, so she put out this brilliant disco album that was a tribute to Josephine Baker.
That's right, it was a concept album,
and
wasn't
I bought it at a record shop in Glenferrie Road for $2. Nah.
She was on the front in a banana skirt.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I like it how, like, Peter also, like, because you do love your records and you love your vinyl, and you sometimes, like, just go, oh, well, this one, I haven't seen this one ages, I'm going to display it in my front room.
And it's parlor.
But it's in your parlor.
Yeah.
But it's always quite a little bit of a bit of an old nugget that you find.
Yes. Enough of my nuggets.
Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight only on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. You're listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Andy and our special guest, the lovely Pete Casserly on Joy 94.9. Now we are, God, we're 6 minutes away from the end of the show and we've got a 5-minute track to play out with.
Well, it just flies sometimes. It absolutely flies. Peter, big shout out, shall we say, to your missing partner.
Yes, Jonathan.
Jonathan
is in London. So if he's listening in, I love you and hope you're having a great time up there.
Peter, you've been a fabulous guest tonight. Thank you for sharing
your
one.
I love coming in here.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Can I do it next week as well?
Oh, look, no, because we've got Anna Bloody Murphy on next week.
We've got Smurf. We've got the Smurf. Because it's our Oscars.
Smurfs. Are they the Smurfs that ring me from Telstra?
The gorgeous Anna Murphy from what's her show in the morning? Murphy's Law.
Yes.
On a Friday
morning. Her name is in the show name. Yeah. Her and her brother do a great Friday breakfast show called Murphy's Law, and she's coming in because we're doing a special Oscar review post-op. It's a post-Oscars show.
Oh, yes.
Isn't it,
it'll be frocks and shocks and wrapping up what's hot and what's not at the Oscars.
Absolutely. Now, Pete, your last track tonight to play us out.
Yep. Okay.
What a classic song.
Well, one of the classics, isn't it? It's Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. And again, it's one of these records that one of my sisters brought home and just put on endless rotation. And it got many, many twirls on the Chrysler. This one did, I can tell you. And I think it's flawless. As we mentioned earlier tonight at home, it's multi-tracked DiBilio.
Oh, my God. Wall of sound.
Wall of sound. It sounds as though they've got a chorus of 16 singers there, but it's just Paul Simon in the background going, that's all it makes. And then they multiply it 16 times.
But
great.
It is one of the most beautifully crafted pop songs ever written, I think. It's in my top 10.
Yeah,
Pete, you've been a divine guest tonight, so thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much as well.
Good night, Australia. Thanks for listening.
Feeling small when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.